mom and dad, and it's good to hear them. Lord's using them. That's great. Before we turn to Psalm 27, let's pray. Father God, just pray for our team in India. May you guide them. May you direct their steps. Give them the words to say, Father. Use them in a mighty way. Father, as we are here this morning, may your spirit continue to move in our midst. May your spirit give us understanding into your word as we put it into our lives, Lord. Guide us through this time, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. Turn to Psalm 27. Oh, what do you got, Sammy? Youth group? Yeah, they're dismissed. Go ahead. Psalm 27 deals with fear. And we'll eventually get into the psalm and look at it verse by verse. But we have some preliminary stuff to get out of the way, like fear. Fear is an emotion. It can be controlling. And we all have to face fear in our lives. I mean, it's part of living, is to face fear. On the 14th of this month, probably most of us didn't pick up on it because we were so tuned in to what was going on in Florida. But in Amarillo, Texas, 100 people were taken hostage by a gunman at the Faith City Mission Church. And I go, wow, 100 people. I looked at their website to see if they could add any more to the story. But they had a man who was in charge of security for the church, as we have here. And he saw this man come in with a gun. And he was able to get two other men. They were able to take the gun away from him. Of course, the police was called, and they were Johnny on the spot. But unfortunately, as the police came into the door, they saw a man holding the gun, and so they shot him. And that was the security man who was holding the gun. But he's going to be okay. Went through surgery, but he's going to be recovered and get back on the job. But things like that happens. But what was interesting, that these 100 hostages, you know what they did to deal with the fear in their lives, to deal with the situation in their lives? They started praying. They started praying. Now, if you're in a fearful situation, I give you some advice. Start praying. I mean, it's real simple. Start praying to deal with the fear. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 7:5 these words. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Fears. The Greek word for fear is phobias. That's where we get our word phobia. Like acrophobia, the fear of spiders. I got a fear. And it's a real fear. I got what is called Joanne fabric phobia. I hate going into that store. I really do. A lot of times I'm the only guy in that store. One time we were in my wife and I were in Joanne Fabrics in Walla Walla, Washington. And there was another man in that store whose face was full of fear, just like mine. And I walked by him. I said, you know, I'd rather be in an auto parts store. He said, yeah, me too. So anyway, you know a fear that I have. You know, we display the fear that we have in our lives in many ways. Sometimes we display our fear through anger. You may be an angry person because you have a life that is controlled by fear. need to deal with that. Jesus is here to set us free from fear, not to be dominated by fear. The psalmist in Psalm 27, or King David, who wrote the psalm, writes about fear and our need to deal with our fears that affects us. He is honest. And as you read through this psalm, honesty just jumps out. He's honest about his own fears and his own emotions, as we need to be honest about our fears and our emotions and experience the true liberation that Jesus Christ can give us over fears. So as we look at Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, and basically we talk about who we are, I want to start off with John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As I've said, fear is an emotion. We all have it, because we're emotional people. It's inside of us. It's who we are. And that is why Jesus told us all these things, so that we can have peace. Tribulation has fear with it, comes with it. But peace, and as we go back into the Hebrew, as the Hebrews understood peace, it is really not the absence of war, turmoil. We inherited that ideas and that mindset from the Greeks, from the ancient Greeks. But for the Hebrew, it is the presence of God's rich and full blessings. That's what peace is. The presence of God and His rich and full blessings in our lives. Our fears, our emotions need to experience God's peace. So when Jesus says that in me you may have peace, in the presence of Jesus Christ, we will have peace. Now, another aspect of fear is the feeling of abandonment. Jesus' peace means that we have not been abandoned in times of trouble. Jesus having overcome the world means our peace is biblical peace. The shalom, which is the Old Testament word for peace, the shalom of His presence with His full blessings, for no matter what we go through, is there for us. I think at times we all feel and experience and have a sense of abandonment. But if you're tied with Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will not be abandoned. He won't leave us or forsake us. We won't be abandoned. That's a promise. Fear is also the feeling of losing control. When Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," this means that in Jesus we gain control by surrendering our lives over to Him. Our personal security is in Jesus Christ. And when that happens, we have the reality that life is not out of control, but that He is in control of our lives, no matter what we go through. Even there are times in which we wonder which way is which way. He is in control. He gives us the peace that we need. He dries our tears when we're sobbing over the events of life. Remember, that control comes from a personal relationship with Him. Here's a story that is out of control. Matthew 14, 24 through 27. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Things were out of control for the disciples in the boat. The waves caused by the wind was coming against them. You need to understand the Sea of Galilee, that the way the sea is, it's an indentation in the land, but it has canyons that come in that feed the water to it. And when they have a weather front coming through, those canyons just focus the wind. And actually, the wind picks up speed as it enters the canyons and then it comes out upon the lakes. So sometimes it can be hurricane force. And this is what these guys in their out-of-control lives were facing. The boat was being buffeted by the wind, by the waves. And some of these guys were fishermen. They knew about that. They knew what could happen on that lake. And they saw Jesus and they figured, "He drowned. It's a ghost. It's a ghost." But in the middle of the storm that they were facing, the Lord Jesus was there walking upon their turmoil, upon their lives. And he gave, and he told them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." So if you have some turmoil in your life, turn it over to his lordship. Hear him say, "Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer." See, the opposite of fear is cheer. And we need to take that into our lives. Don't live in fear, but live in the cheer that Jesus gives us. But we as people need the Lord, as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm of David. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" Who does David turn to in times of fear? The Lord. For the Lord, personally, for David, is my light. Life. Fear can become very dark. Our lives can become very dark. Allow fear to rule in your life and you will have a darkened life. But for David, the Lord is his light. The Lord is his life. The Lord is also my salvation. There is no salvation in fear. It doesn't set you free. It entangles, it imprisons you. But for David, salvation came from the Lord. The Lord is also, he tells us, my strength. Another word you can use for strength is stronghold. The Lord is a place of safety. A place where we can be renewed. Where life has worn us down, the presence of the Lord gives us strength. Makes us into a stronghold. in times when the world's pressure is putting fear on us, we can turn to the Lord. Because out of this relationship with the Lord comes the ability to overcome fear. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, fear in the Hebrew is an interesting word. It means fear, terror, respect, reverence, piety, and revered. Now, a lot of times we just see fear in a negative with the Lord. Fear that he's going to judge us. Fear that we're already condemned. But see fear as in a relationship with the Lord. As a believer, when we fear the Lord, it is always out of a personal relationship in which we know who he is. We reverence him in our own personal piety. Yeah, it may be tough times that we're experiencing, and our emotions are still there. But his peace, his fear calms us. Well, now a fool is one who does not fear the Lord. They are the ones who are lacking in peace. They are the ones that are lacking a relationship with the Lord. So not only are they lacking in peace, but they're also lacking in wisdom and discipline. Two crucial items that is needed to be successful in life. No matter what you do in your relationship with the Lord, there needs to be certain disciplines. There needs to be wisdom that comes from him to maybe straighten out our life. Maybe to challenge us to grow in certain areas. Maybe to deal with some fears, some anxiety, some frustrations. Maybe deal with some bad relationships. Whom shall I fear? David tells us, of whom shall I be afraid? If you're in the Lord, nobody. Nothing. In fact, King David says, I'm going to win against enemies in verse 2. Look at that. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. David is secure in the Lord. David watches his enemies stumble and fall. They want to eat him up, which means they want to destroy him. They want to eradicate him from the face of the earth. But the Lord calmed any of David's fears that he had. Just as the Lord calms our fears and gives us confidence that he is in control, no matter what we face. And what's interesting is the Lord takes control. We will see him stepping into our lives, helping us. That's what happens when our hearts are at peace with the Lord. That's what happens. We see him stepping. We see him moving in our lives. And when our heart is at peace, filled with confidence, you realize that fear is really loneliness without the Lord. The controlling power of fear that is now missing in our lives reveals that we are in his presence. A relationship with the Lord, that we spend time in his presence experiencing him when people of the world would want to eradicate us. When the enemy wants to destroy us, we will have this confidence. Coming out of a relationship with the Lord. The disciples were on a mount of transfiguration in Matthew 17, 6. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. The disciples heard God the Father speak about his Son, Jesus Christ. And they were afraid, and in that fear they fell upon their faces. Now, afraid in the Greek means to put to flight by terrifying or scare away. That's what it means in the Greek. And it's interesting that Matthew used this word. The disciples wanted to run away. They wanted to run for their lives. But they couldn't. They were paralyzed by fear. So then they did the next best thing. They fell on their face to cover their eyes. And they stayed there. On the ground, breathing dirt. And Jesus came and touched them and told them to get up and leave their fear. Leave it on the ground. You know, when Jesus comes and touches us, he is healing us of the fear that controls us. Leave your fear on the ground to be buried by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pick it up. We have this tendency to pick it up. We like the term, we like to lay things at the foot of the cross. And we do. The only problem is when people aren't looking, we turn around and pick it back up. That's a big problem. And Jesus knows that's a big problem. Because he sees us picking it up. Just like with fear. When he heals us of a fear, don't pick it up. Let it lay on the ground. Because Jesus will never resurrect any fear in our lives. He'll never do that. Jesus wants any and all fear to be left on that ground. Then we can get up and walk away from it. Get up and walk away. Don't turn back. Because fear has a tendency to make you into a pillar of salt. As we've seen from Lot's wife in the Old Testament. She turned back to look and paid the price. If we turn back to look at our fears, there's a good chance we'll pick it up and not be liberated from that fear by Jesus Christ. Be confident in the Lord, is what David tells us. Now, as we look at Psalm verses 4 through 8, we see it talks about relationship. Let me read verse 4 and 5. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Now, fear is not defeated by being in a house. It isn't. But fear is defeated by being in the very presence of the Lord. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, it isn't the house that brings peace, but it is the presence of the Lord. And David wanted to experience the true author of peace, the Lord himself. Safety in his presence is a call for all of us to live in his presence so that our emotions are stable when troubles come at us. And it will happen. Troubles will happen. And let's be honest, being safe is an emotion. You can go, whew, that was close. That is an emotional release right there. So being safe in his presence means that emotionally we are stable to be who God wants us to be, who the Lord Jesus has set us free to be, his people. Stable. Emotionally, we are safe. Emotionally, we are at peace. When a world looks like it's falling apart, because we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And as we see from that verse 5, let him hide us. Let him hide us. And allow him to put us on the rock, which means safety. Experience him. So then we will rise up in victory coming out of his presence. Fear won't defeat us. Whatever we're facing won't defeat us. But we will rise up in victory knowing that Jesus Christ has given us the win, the victory. Now in verse 6 it says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Remember, fear that is controlled by Jesus Christ is no longer dominating our lives. And because it's no longer in the dominating position in our lives, but Jesus Christ is in the dominating position in our lives, we can lift our heads up above all the troubles, above all the enemies, above all the negative situations we encounter in life, and give shouts of joy. Your worship is set free. You will sing songs that are not oppressed by fear, but are expressed with the freedom that only comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you sing a song, you can sing it with joy and excitement. Hopefully you sing songs like that this morning. It sets you free to sing songs of praise. Doesn't mean you have to be on tune. A couple Sundays ago, I was sitting with Sally right behind Rex and Jameen. And I was just singing away, praising the Lord. And I came up with my own words for the song. Hopefully, Rex and Jameen did not hear me say or sing those words. But you know, I'm not afraid of Rex and Jameen. They can think of anything they want about my singing. Thank you. Thank you. But I have the freedom to sing, and every now and then I make up my own words. I'm here to sing because of the joy that Jesus Christ has given me. And hopefully, being in his presence, overwhelmed by his joy, and the presence of the Spirit, you sing with joy and excitement. And if you want to sing the wrong words, come and sit next to me. I can help you out a whole bunch. But you rise up in victory, and victory allows you to sing songs of praise. But victory requires us seeking, requires us looking for the Lord. Look at verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. In the Hebrew, the word for face also means presence. The Lord promised Moses that his face, his presence, would go before him and the children of Israel. Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In his presence, as he leads us through his Spirit, we have rest. And God's invitation for all of us is to rest in him. Forget the anxieties, the pressures of this world, but to rest in him, to seek his face, his presence in your life. As believers, we have a goal. And that goal is to have the light of Christ's face in our hearts, in our lives. Because 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His face, his presence comes alive in us. Fear has been replaced by the light of Christ's face. Don't allow fear to take the light from your life. Remember, fear is always darkness. As people, we still have doubts in our lives at times. David is sharing his own doubts. After saying and listening to the Lord say, seek my face, and he himself said, your face, O Lord, I will seek. He raises the issue of doubts in his own faith journey, in his own life. Look at verses 9 and 10 of Psalm 27. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Fear can raise doubts in our lives. When he said, hide his face from me, it means no relationship. Something has got in the way. Relationship with the Lord. And David is being honest. He felt rejection by God. David had been rejected by his parents. And he does not want to feel that same rejection by God. This is how he's feeling emotionally. What's interesting is fear will always cause us to look inside. And we'll ask the question, what do you see? What do you see? David looked inside in a time of doubt and realized his relationship with the Lord was strong. He realized that. He didn't allow fear to, and the doubts that come from fear to, to overcome him. But he saw the face of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, and knew that his relationship was strong. Even though he felt the fear of rejection, again, parents rejected him. He didn't want to experience that rejection with God. But because of his relationship with the Lord was so deep, that his heart knew beyond a shadow of doubt that he would never be rejected by God. It was a time of doubt just floating by him. And he is really confirming to himself his good relationship with the Lord. No doubt in his life. In our lives, we always need to reassure ourselves that doubt is not in control, fear is not in control, that Jesus Christ is in control. But do you ever doubt the Lord or yourself? Have you ever caught yourself doubting? We probably all have at times. Have caught ourselves doubting about a relationship with the Lord. Doubting that we can lick this fear. If you've ever caught yourself thinking like that, experiencing those types of thinking patterns, go to the Lord. Allow him to reconfirm your relationship with him is alive and vibrant and well. And that fear will be defeated in his presence. That doubts will be put away in his presence, in his peace. Then the Lord will take care of me. Then the Lord will take care of you. And you will let go by allowing him to take care of you. And as he was talking about doubts, as we look at verse 11, David had no desire to be turned over to his foes. Teach me your ways, your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. In verse 11, verse 12, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. David wanted his life to be on a smooth path. I think all of us want a life like that. But you know, there's always foes that always want to put a roadblock in your path. They always want to tear up the road before you. Foes will always look at the little things in one life to try to get to us. Fear tells us to surrender your life or doubts over to your foes, over to the enemies, over to your adversaries. Jesus tells us differently. Jesus' way is different than fear. Our fears, our enemies, our adversaries. Because Jesus has defeated all of them. So you have doubts, you have fears. Have victory. Have victory in Jesus Christ. Even though things breathe out violence in our lives, events and people, Jesus has given us life and a meaning to life. Not only eternal life, but life here. Life empowered with the power of the Spirit of God. Because verses 13 and 14 reveal some keys to inner strength. I would have lost heart in verse 13 unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. To have the inner strength of the Lord requires personal honesty. Reveal yourself to God. I know in this country we have this tendency to keep it all in and not share. But we need to reveal ourselves to God. Even though he knows what we are experiencing, we need to be honest with him and say, Lord, this is who I am. This is what I'm feeling. You know, that personal honesty can come from the inner strength of the Lord that he gives you. And that inner strength to be honest with yourself and with him sets us free to see the goodness of the Lord when the land of the living. We actually can see him moving. And this confidence will never be moved. We'll never be shaken by fear or doubts or by adversaries or by enemies. You will see him moving in the land of the living. It's great to see God moving in one's life, other people's lives, my life. So it proves that I have a presence of him in my life through Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, we have confidence. We enter the Lord's presence with the challenge to, first of all, and this is the first key to inner strength, is to be of good courage. Ephesians 6:13 says this, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in an inner man. We have the riches of his glory. The Holy Spirit pours it out on our inner selves. We may be dirt poor. That doesn't matter. What really matters is with the heart. That Jesus has set us free, has filled us, has strengthened us, has given us his Holy Spirit, that we need to rely on him and him alone. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in the inner man. That means we can be of good courage because the Holy Spirit is living within us. And we experience God's riches, his glory in our lives. The second key to inner strength is to strengthen your heart. Read verse 14 over again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, our hearts always are in need of strength. And the Lord will give us strength from our confidence because we have placed all we are in him. And he will always strengthen us for the task that lies ahead. No matter what it is, we will have a strengthened heart. We will have the courage we need to face. Like the security guard at the church in Amarillo, Texas. He and two other men had the strength to do what they needed to do, to take this gunman down who had 100 hostages. And they did it. They had the courage and the strength to do what needed to be done. Unlike, unfortunately, we hear of a couple of sheriffs in Florida who lacked the courage and the strength to run towards the gunfire in the school. We need to be and to have the good courage and the strength of our hearts to go forward, to tackle whatever lies before us. But we also need, the last key to inner strength is to wait for the Lord. The Hebrew word for wait means trust and confident expectation. We know the Lord and what He wants for our lives. We live our lives of confident expectation. The Lord's going to use us. The Lord's going to guide us. The Lord's going to take us through times of fear and times of doubt. He's going to take us down those rough roads. He's going to take us through those times that just rake us over the coals. Those events that are torturing us. But we live lives in confident expectation because we are waiting on Him. We wait for His return. We wait for His pouring out of the Holy Spirit in our lives with strength to handle what is before us. We wait to see the Lord moving in our lives and the lives of others. It's amazing how much strength you can gather for your life by looking at others and seeing the Lord move in somebody else's life. That sets us free to say, thank you, Lord. You're moving in this person's life or that person's life. We can say, thank you, Lord, you're moving in my life. Wait to see the Lord moving in our lives. You know, the cure for a frowning face of rejection and fear of people is the Lord's face of love and acceptance. He is our King. And as King, He knows us and our situations. He knows our lives. During World War I, Admiral Jellicoe, the commander of the British Home Fleet, was being crucified by the British press for any decision he made in trying to defeat the German fleet. It was all over the papers. Everybody in the fleet read about it. What did that produce in the fleet? Doubt. And if you doubt your admiral, you're going to start fearing for your own life because you figure that guy doesn't know what he's doing. And he's going to put me in harm's way. Permeated the fleet. The doubt, those fears. Ah, but the King of England, the King of the entire fleet, King George, had a king's sea sense that was able to penetrate the general public mistrust of naval warfare. So the king sent a letter of support that heartened the admiral. It so encouraged him that he shared it with the fleet. The fleet went from being negative, doubting everything, to being positive because their king knew what they were struggling with. They knew it. Our King, Jesus Christ, knows us. Don't be pulled by fear, but be pulled by the fearless love of His. Discover His presence. In your life, maybe some of us need to rediscover His presence in our lives. Now's the time to do that. Let's just take a minute. You and Jesus, spend some time together. Go into His presence at this time. And I'll wrap us up in prayer. So let's pray. Take a minute praying. Reveal yourself to Him because He's your King. He wants to encourage you. Let's pray.